Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You out of a week, weary and hungry, and we pray, O Lord, that You would please feed and satisfy our souls with the precious truth of Your Word and in the power of Your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we'll begin at verse 1 and continue reading through verse 5. But since we have a number of visitors with us, I think we'll start reading a little earlier. So we'll start reading at chapter 2, verse 17. Chapter 2, verse 17. For a little more context. First Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 17. Hear now the word of our God. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For you are our glory and joy. Now our text. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before, when we were with you, that we would suffer tribulation just as it happened, and you know. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in a wonderful section in this letter to the Thessalonians that is very instructive for us about how the church is supposed to function and what the culture of the church is supposed to be like. Last time we looked at verses 17 through 20 in chapter 2, we saw that Paul genuinely loved and cared for this congregation as his own family, describing even his absence from them as like being forcibly removed from a family member. We also saw that Paul's care for this church is the same that Jesus has for us, and thus what we are to have for one another. That our main concern is not that we would all live happy, healthy, and wealthy lives, but rather that we are all walking with the Lord. That the greatest earthly joy and glory that we can have is that we all walk together with our God. And thus, our greatest concern for one another is that we are converted and place our faith in Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I hope you know that this is true for me, but also true for all of your brothers and sisters here. That nothing would break our hearts more than you walking away from the faith. I hope you know that. I hope you even experience that love and care in the conversations that you have and as you see the actions of your brothers and sisters in Christ toward you, in service to you. And so, I want to take this time, this moment, to speak on behalf of all the saints, to plead with you as your brothers and sisters do here as well. Please make our joy complete. Be our crown of rejoicing. There is nothing greater that I want for you all than for one day for you to be in heaven before the face of our Savior. Of course, being in the presence of Jesus and of the Father and the Holy Spirit is going to be my greatest joy. But being with you will be my second. And as we think about each other, as we go about our days, and we pray for one another, let not our requests simply be physical, but may we continue to lift one another up in prayer, that God would increase our faith and cause us to walk before His face in faithfulness. And may it be our joy, a great joy in our hearts, as we think about that blessed time when we will eat together at the marriage supper of the Lamb. That we will be together with the Lord. I think as we think about the realities of the gospel and the future that awaits us, it can only grow us in love for our God and grow us in love for one another. And so, I plead with you, make my joy complete. And this love that we are to have for one another, and joy that we are to have in one another, we mustn't forget, must be rooted in the love that God has for us in Christ. And the joy that our Savior and God has for us. Or else, this moment would just be a warm and gushy feeling that at the moment of slightest irritation would be wiped away. You know that I'm irritated. I know that you are too. And so a warm and gushy feeling is not something that will last. Unless it is grounded in an unshakable truth. And that unshakable truth is the love of God that is given to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. Please remember that our Savior came to do what? To give us a life of ease and material blessing? No. Christ came in order to make for our peace with God. The greatest thing that Christ could do for us was to bring us into a right relationship with God. And that is what He has done for us by His cross. And thus the greatest joy that we should have for one another, that we should have for one another in all experience, is that peace with God, that love, grace, and mercy, and to truly and really know that the God of all the universe rejoices over us. Rejoices over you. Don't know if you've ever seen some of the footages from space and how they can look in telescopes and see just how vast the universe is. And then sometimes in those videos they'll show you what the Earth looks like from so many millions of miles away and so on. And it doesn't take you very far before you can't see Earth anymore. Earth is just a little speck in the universe. And we aren't even dots on it. And yet the God of all the universe rejoices over you and me. This is the love that must change our hearts and lives to see the goodness of our God. And as we think about our God rejoicing in us, we must then rejoice in one another. But now we come to verse 1, because Paul now continues with this thought and theme and brings out for us even more practical application for us. And as we read in verse 1, the first word is the word therefore. And whenever we read that word therefore, what question must we ask? Wherefore is the therefore therefore? Right? And the therefore is there because Paul is taking the love that he has for this church and the joy that he has in them and saying, this is practically how I wanted to display that love for you and that joy in you. This therefore is a pattern that we are to imitate in our lives as well. That our love for one another cannot just end at warm, cozy feelings and even nice words, but must be demonstrated with action. And in our passage that is before us, we see that Paul was desperate to visit the Thessalonians and at least to hear something about what was going on in that church. And so while Paul and Silas continued the work in Athens, they sent Timothy back to Thessalonica to report back how the church was doing there. But not only to do that, but also to do what Paul and Silas also wanted to do for them, which was establish and encourage them in the faith. What does that mean? Because we need to get down to the meat of this passage. What does it mean to establish and encourage in the faith? So what does it mean, first of all, to establish? Well, it means to make secure or to make strong. What does it mean to encourage? Well, it means to support and inspire someone with hope. And even as you read in that word, encourage, you are seeking to help someone in their confidence or courage. And these two ideas, of course, go right together. And we, as the church, should be ready to encourage one another by planting one another firmly in the truth of God's Word. This, of course, means that we first need to know God's Word. We need to know God as He is revealed in His Word. We need to know who He is. We need to know His attributes. We need to know the height and the breadth and the depth of His love. Obviously, we're not going to know that perfectly or even altogether, but we need to know something about it if we're going to explain who our God is to someone else and seek to establish them in the truth. We need to know that our God is a God of justice. We need to know that our God is righteous and good. We need to know that our God is the God of all grace and mercy. We need to know who He is in order to properly describe Him to one another so that we may anchor one another in the truth of who God is. Because how is someone going to get their bearings in this life if they do not know who God is? One of the reasons why there is such an identity crisis in our world and people are searching and longing for it is because there is the greatest part of knowledge that they are missing. They do not know God Himself. Even as John Calvin opens up his Institutes of the Christian Religion, how does he start it? He starts talking about there really are only two kinds of knowledge. Knowledge of God and knowledge of self. You can't really know who you are unless you know who God is. And the more you know yourself and the more you see your sinfulness in the sight of God, the more you will understand about Him and His grace and love and mercy. And so if we are to establish anyone in the truth, we have to know who God is as He's revealed Himself in His Word. We also need to know the gospel of our salvation. We need to know it intimately, not only for ourselves and to preach it to our own hearts, but also so that we would be able to serve one another with the platter of God's gospel. We need to be ready to shepherd one another into the glorious truths of how we can be forgiven of our sins. We need to establish them in the truth, especially when doubt and fear is overwhelming and overcoming. Let us not sit in our Sunday best and think to ourselves that we are above all of that, because you and I know we've all gone through times in our lives where we have experienced doubt. And when we have wondered, how can God love me? Am I saved? How do I know that I'm elect? And we need to arm ourselves with the truth of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we also need to be ready to help one another when we see them struggling with those same questions. To know that God doesn't love us based on our performance, but God loves us simply because He chose to love us in eternity past. To know that the faith that we have is faith that is given by God. To know that we cannot be lost, for He who began a good work in us will complete it. We need to be established in these truths so that we would establish one another in these truths and so many more besides. We need to know the promises of God. That when someone is struggling, when someone is faced with an enemy that is far greater than themselves, whether it's addiction or whether it's persecution in the workplace or whatever it may be, that we can come to one another and establish them in the truth that the one who is with them is stronger than all of the addictions and all of the strength of this world. Remind them that they serve the King of all the universe. And when we see brothers and sisters going through difficult trials, whether it's health problems, think of those who are suffering long time from cancer or any kinds of illnesses like that. Whether it's just chronic pain or whatever it may be, that we can go to one another and remind them that even these things are in the hands of our God. And that there is nothing in all creation that can separate them from the love of God. I remember counseling an old lady who was just diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Terrible thing. Of course, she knew it, and she was struggling with it. And it was sad to her that there were moments and times where she couldn't remember her grandchildren's names, right? And it's hard. But her greatest fear, as she told me, was, Pastor, what happens if I finally completely lose my mind, will I not believe in Jesus anymore? To which I was able to serve her the precious words of Romans 8. That there is nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. But we have to be armed with that in order to serve one another with these glorious truths and establish one another in them. We need to know the realities of sin, of hell, of heaven, of grace, mercy, peace, and love. And that's just a short list. We need to know these glorious truths because we have to establish each other in them. We need to be armed with the whole counsel of God's Word so that in times of grief you can address those wounds with passages like Lamentations 3 and say, "Your mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness," right? In times of rejoicing, you can lead them to passages like Psalm 103 or 148. In times of great suffering, you can lead them to Psalms 22 or 88. In times of fear, you can take them to Psalm 27 or 46. In times of great conviction of sin, you can take them to Psalm 32, 51, or Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Right? You know that passage. "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We need to know God's Word so that we can establish each other in the hope of the Gospel. Children, one of your favorite things to do, I know it, is to memorize Bible verses and catechism question and answers. Now I know what it's like to be in your shoes. I was once there myself. And I also know that as you go through your education, there are moments when you go, "Why am I learning this? It doesn't seem to really help me now." And there may be scripture passages that you are asked to learn by your teachers, or catechism question and answers that you are taught to memorize, and you maybe wonder, why is the pastor or the teacher making me memorize this? It doesn't seem very relevant to my life right now. But I encourage you, as we are told in the passage to do, I encourage you that God is giving you tools to put in your toolbox in order to serve your brothers and sisters in Christ later on, maybe not right now. Although I will say, you may be surprised at how often when you are told to memorize something, whether it is that very same week or very shortly after, you will notice, wow, what a blessing to know that. What a blessing to be able to share that. Now, having said all this, while it is our goal and our aim that we are constantly an encouragement to others and that we are establishing one another, never wavering for a moment, we have to be reminded and have to be honest with ourselves that we are not yet perfected. I know. Shock. No, we're not there yet, are we? Which means that yes, we've all gone through times in the past, or maybe even in the present, where we've gone through hard times, where we've been filled with more fear and doubt than love and faith. And I'm not going to tell you something you don't already know. You're going to go through times in your lives in the future where that is going to happen too. And in those moments, I plead with you, please do not beat yourself up, and please do not feel so guilty that you do not seek help and encouragement from your brothers and sisters in Christ. We have a problem in the Christian church where we all are supposed to be on the outside bright and shiny. And when we inside feel depressed, when we feel stressed, we have a humility problem to go to others for help, but also we have a problem in the culture of the church that we are fearful that other people will judge us because we're not full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And we seem to be full of fear and doubt. That cannot happen. That cannot happen in the Church of Jesus Christ. Yes, the church is an army, but it is also a hospital. And so whenever we are struggling in our spiritual walk with the Lord, we of course need to go to God first in prayer and in His Word. We cannot expect our brothers and sisters to do what only God can. Please remember that. We cannot expect our brothers and sisters in Christ to do what only God can. But we all go through difficult times where we are in need of someone coming alongside of us and just reminding us, establishing us in maybe what we already know. We need someone to encourage us to see the light when all we see is darkness. And so in those moments, please do not be afraid to reach out. But also, the rest of us, all of us, need to be on the lookout for each other. If someone is struggling, certainly some of the onus is on them to ask for help, but we also need to be looking to see if someone is struggling and be willing in love to come alongside of them. For this is the love that our God has for us. Yes, that one silly sheep decided to run away, but Jesus went after him. Our God sought us out to save us. Our Lord Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit to minister to us according to our needs. This is the love that we constantly receive from the Lord. And so pray, dear brothers and sisters, that the Lord would cause this very same love that you receive from Him to overflow from you in loving service to one another. And don't just become comfortable with various ways of service, but actively think about how I can serve one another better. How can I serve my brothers and sisters better? In what ways am I gifted? In what ways am I not gifted? And especially to the young people, you are learning what your gifts are. It's going to take some trial and error to figure that out. As a minister, the very first year I was ordained, guess what classes decided to stick me with? Being the class's clerk. I told them I was not gifted for that, and I definitely was not. I am not an organized person, and I am not good at taking notes. So it was the worst thing for me. And I told them, and so I, thankfully, thanks to my consistory who loves me so much, I got out of it. But we have to learn, what is our giftedness? What is not our giftedness? And the church will be patient with you as you learn what that is. But as we consider all of this, and that we are to encourage and establish one another in the truth of God's Word, in the faith that has been delivered to us, you may be asking yourselves, why should we care so much about the spiritual condition of other people's souls? Why does Paul care so much about this Thessalonian church? Why should we be diligent in this care for one another? After all, we're Calvinists. We believe once saved, always saved, right? What is the urgency? If we believe that God is going to save people entirely by His powerful grace and the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, we have to remember that those doctrines of God's grace are not a call to laziness. They are a call to trust and a reminder of comfort. But we do not know who the elect is and who is not, nor would we want any one of us to backslide even for a moment. Because we know that backsliding will only be to their harm. So if we love each other at all, we would want to encourage one another and establish one another as much as we possibly can in the faith. Now we also know something else that's recorded for us in our passage, that there's a tempter out there. We know we have an enemy. An enemy that goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. An enemy so powerful that even the great apostle Peter would be sifted like wheat if not for the power of God with him. We know the tenacity of our enemy. And we know that God is pleased to work through us for His appointed and good purposes. And so we cannot be lazy in this regard. If our greatest earthly joy, back to the beginning, full circle, here we go. If our greatest earthly joy is our brothers and sisters walking with the Lord, then why would we not seek to help them in that walk? Why would we not seek to help them in that walk? And so, brothers and sisters, this is the call that our God gives to us in this passage. Be established in the faith yourself, so that you may serve one another, encouraging and establishing one another in the faith that has once been delivered to the saints. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, O Lord, for this passage that reminds us of what we as a church are supposed to be doing. To be loving and caring for one another, seeking to establish and build one another up in the truths of Your Word, in the faith that has been delivered to us. And so we pray, O Lord, that as we seek in our daily lives to know You more and to walk with You more nearly, that You would then use us for services small and great to bless Your people. O Lord, as we memorize Scripture, may we not only memorize them for ourselves, but memorize them with diligence so that we may serve one another with them. Be ready whenever the time calls to share the truths of God's Word. O Lord, would You please establish this Your church, every single member of us, and us together as a community, would You please establish us in the faith that You have given to us. And would You always encourage us with what You teach us in Your Word. We pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.